The third case is the United States versus Collins. Mr. Holler?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. The county sheriff's officers in this case acted reasonably in light of the unusual circumstances which they faced outside of the defendant's apartment in the early morning hours of March 21, 2003. Based upon those exigent circumstances, they reasonably decided to enter the defendant's apartment, and this entry and search and subsequent discovery of firearms did not violate the Fourth Amendment. Exigent circumstances exist when there is a compelling need for official action and no time in which to secure a warrant. Exigent circumstances and a need to search for medical necessity occurs when the officers reasonably believe that a person within needs immediate aid. The circumstances that were present in this case under the prior cases that have been set out by this court clearly qualify as exigent circumstances under which such a search could have been accomplished.
Well, here the officers had no specific information that the shots were fired inside his apartment, no information that an injured person was inside, no knowledge that any person was in there at all, and in terms of the 911 call, there was no identification of the unit that was in question.
I agree that none of those factors were present. Focusing, Judge Williams, on the facts that were present, I think that the officers were naturally drawn to that specific apartment. It was in early morning hours. None of the other apartments had any activity in them. It was the apartment next to the apartment from which the 911 call had occurred. In many of the other cases which you've cited, which we've cited in our brief, there was no specific evidence of another person that was in the apartment as well. The Temez case or the Holloway case from the Fifth Circuit and the Eleventh Circuit, there were reports of shots fired at a specific location, but there was no indication of whether there were individuals inside of the apartment. In the Richardson case, the evidence was that whoever was inside the apartment was already dead. So, and in those cases, the courts have still considered that in light of our understanding of 911 calls, in light of the presence of an emergency situation, that the officers should still go to the scene. In this case, when the officers arrived upon the scene, they had to make a determination of how they were going to begin their investigation. And the fact that the music was extremely loud and had been turned up at that particular location caused them to go to that apartment first to investigate what was occurring. Once the defendant in this case answered the door, refused to turn down his stereo system, and it actually physically attacked the officers, because gunshots had been sounded in the area, it was reasonable for the officers to make the conclusion that there was certainly a strong chance that the shots had been fired by the defendant or had been fired inside of his apartment. And so under those circumstances, they had to make a call on the scene at the time as to what they were going to do about the situation. Were they going to just take the defendant away and hope that there was nobody inside? Were they going to stop and make additional inquiries, check out other apartments, or were they going to take 10 or 15 seconds to walk into the apartment, look around, make sure there was nobody in there before they continued on with the rest of their investigation and before they took the defendant away? And under the cases that have come forth in this circuit and under the circumstances, the government would just submit that that was not an unreasonable action, that there were reasons to believe that a person inside the apartment could be in need of immediate aid. There was a stereo that was turned up. There was a smell of marijuana. There was the presence of alcohol. All of those factors are things that would lead one to conclude that there might be other individuals in the apartment. Nobody had come to the door when the officers had been attacked by Mr. Collins in this case. And so if there was somebody within who was in need of aid, they weren't going to be able to hear anything, the music being up so loud, and all of those facts, I think, combined would lead one to conclude that there was a reasonable possibility that someone inside the apartment would be in need of aid. Your Honors, we believe that any time a 911 call is called in, it is an emergency situation. The court spelled that out in Richardson, and the court needs to take, and officers need to be given the flexibility when they're going in these kinds of situations. They're not anticipating going in and conducting a search. They're anticipating serving more in their public safety capacity of trying to ensure the public safety and ensure the safety of what is going on at that particular scene. This was a Thursday night, Friday morning in a small apartment complex in a rural area. One would not normally expect to have loud parties going on. One would certainly not normally expect to have gunshots fired in that or any other neighborhood. And so the officers needed to take the opportunity at that time to try and check out the situation. Just like the situations in, for example, the Arch case or the Brown case, there were unusual circumstances that were, there were red flags that were going up. When a police officer approaches a normal individual's door and says, your music's gone too loud, you're disturbing the peace, you need to turn it down, the response should be, would be, expected response would be to turn the radio down or turn the stereo down. It would not be to first refuse the request with profanity and then to actually physically attack the officers with such force and for so long that you had to be bound with ankle restraints. And under those circumstances and with the facts that were being presented to them, the officers were faced with a belligerent defendant who was acting very erratically. There was no indication on the scene. They couldn't see into the apartment to know that there was nobody inside. They could see the area around them to see that there wasn't any individual outside. They couldn't smell any gunpowder or gunshots that had occurred outside the apartment. And there was no indication from any of the other apartments of any activity going on there. So they had to make a quick call on the scene, and that was the action that they took. The district court, in large part, did not seem to quarrel with that determination. Part of the district court's focus was the argument that the scope of the search had been exceeded by opening a door to the closet or the bathroom. And we've argued as well that that also is clear under the case law is not to be the case. The officers were entitled to search any area where a person in aid could have been. The officers, first of all, in the bathroom situation, there's no indication that the bathroom door was even closed, but even if one were to assume that it was, victims could be found, obviously, in a bathroom in a home in these kinds of situations. The closet was some sort of walk-in or utility closet, which also could have housed the victim, and the officer testified he didn't know what was behind the closet door before he opened it. And once again, therefore, weapons could have been found in that location. The government's relied primarily on the exigent circumstances argument in its brief, but we do also feel that a protective sweep would have been justified under the circumstances, just as it was possible, reasonable under the circumstances, that a person could have been inside who needed medical aid. It was also possible that another person could have been inside the apartment that could have threatened the officers. And so for those reasons, we also think that a limited search of the premises incident to the arrest could have been justified as well under the standard that was set out.
How come the government doesn't advance consent in this case?
Your Honor,
I don't know what to make of check out my pet approach here.
Your Honor, the government did not really advance the consent argument before. It was something that sort of came out, I think, unexpectedly to all parties on the stand. The reason I think that the government does not advance the consent argument is because we believe that, I guess, I don't know that we believe the district court was correct, but there aren't enough facts in the record, we believe, to really make a finding on the consent argument.
Well, you have the testimony from the mouth of the occupant of the property.
Well, the occupant of the property stated that he could enter the property to search for the, to locate and secure the dog. There isn't any testimony in the record as to when or how the dog was secured. It appears from the record that the dog was in the living room, was simply cowering in the corner. And the district court's argument that...
maybe the dog gave implied consent.
I kind of doubt that, Judge Posner, but if...
Well, he wanted to be secure. Dog.
Well, that's true. If there was another person who was threatening him inside the apartment, you might want to check that out and make sure the dog was secure as well. The Solicitor General didn't grant us authority to appeal on that ground, as is, I suppose, the short answer as to why we're not appealing on it. But we believe our other arguments were stronger. If the dog was... It's not clear from the record where the dog was, but if the dog was located in the living room, the district court's argument
safety,
that it exceeds safety, the scope...
Safety of the officer...
Sure, from the safety
allow,
of the officer.
Allow you to do some things if you're going to.
I guess we just didn't feel that that advanced the ball any further than the protective sweep argument. If there was authority under the arrest to make the protective sweep, the same would follow under the consent argument, I think is the argument that seemed to be advanced by the Solicitor General's office as to why we should only appeal on the grounds that we had actually really really raised below. If there are no further questions, I would like to reserve the remainder of my time in rebuttal.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Howard. Mr. Stevens.
Good morning. The government advances two theories upon which the entry into the apartment is justified. One is exigent circumstances on the claim that there may have been victims present. The other is that the officers were conducting a protective sweep. With regard to the issue of protective sweep, the Supreme Court, I think, has given us pretty clear guidance. In the Bowie case, Supreme Court told us that a sweep lasts no longer than is necessary to dispel a reasonable suspicion of danger, and in any event, no longer than it takes to complete the arrest and depart the premises. In this case, Mr. Collins was arrested outside of his apartment. He was not arrested inside of the apartment. He was taken some 60 feet.
Well, he was arrested outside because he attacked them, right?
That's correct.
Well, what are they supposed to do?
Exactly what they did.
Completely irresponsible just to have someone comes charging out of the apartment and attacks them. Wouldn't it be completely irresponsible for them just to walk away and not see what's going on in the apartment?
It would be they had been making an arrest in the apartment at the time they went.
That's just so ridiculous. The only reason it's not inside the apartment is that he attacks them outside the apartment. He's charging out.
That's the crucial difference, Judge.
Look, it doesn't make any sense because there have been the gunshots, and then some nut comes charging out of the room toward them. So of course they ought to check. They ought to check out, make see what's going on in that apartment. Maybe there's someone who's been shot, and that's why he came charging out at them.
Well, let's review.
Imagine if there had been someone shot and they just walked away the way you say they should have. Then we'd have a lawsuit by the victim.
Let's review the facts that the officers had, Your Honor. The officers are 150 yards away in an area that's screened by trees where they can't see the apartment complex itself. They hear gunshots. They're not able to tell whether it's inside, outside, where it's located, whether it's associated with any particular apartment.
So what should they do? Just go home?
They go to the area.
What should they do?
They go to the area.
I'm asking a question. What should they do? Suppose you're running the police. Just go home? We heard gunshots. Well, wild neighborhood. Better get out of here.
They do exactly what they do. They go to the apartment complex area and they investigate. And the information they have at that time is simply that there are gunshots in the area. Now, under the government's theory, there's
and
a...
And how should they investigate?
They walk around the area. They talk to the people that are in the neighborhood. They try to ascertain where the gunshots came from.
Well, we've got early morning. Probably not a whole lot of folks around, or we would know about that, right?
Mr. Collins was around.
Right, and we don't. It's hard to tell whether anybody had lights on in these 16 apartments or not. But let's assume all they've got is the sound, so they're drawn by the sound to the area, right?
That's exactly what happened. Yes.
Okay. So they approach and knock on the door, and he comes out, right?
Mr. Collins comes to the door. They get into an altercation.
They didn't challenge him. He attacked them.
The officers testified that he attacked them. Mr. Collins testified he didn't. Whatever happened, there was an altercation. And there's no question about that.
But the officers were drawn to the apartment because of the loud music. And the door was partially open. And they were drawn to his apartment because of the loud music. And the door was partially open. They tried to question him. And he wouldn't respond. They wanted him to turn that music down.
They questioned him. He was belligerent. He refused to turn the music down. There was an altercation. He may have attacked them. He may not have. But at any rate, they took him into custody, took him 60 feet away to the police car, and were prepared to take him away.
Right.
At that point, they had arrested him. They had him in custody. And they had no more information that there was anything going on in that apartment than the apartment next door where the 9/11 call had come from. And there's some
If you hear gunshots and then you encounter this person who's drunk and disorderly, you put two and two together, and you say, you know, the gunshots may have come from his apartment. We better look and see what's going on. There might be someone lying there. It's to me a sensible way to act. I don't understand.
They may have come from his apartment. They may have come from the apartment
Anything
next door.
Anything possible. But you think that the light, this is the most suspicious character they encounter. And why isn't it prudent to look through his apartment and make sure there's no one lying there?
Because they have no evidence that there's anyone else in the house or in the apartment. They have no evidence that there are any weapons in the apartment. They have no evidence that there's any activity. The woman next door made a 911 call, but she didn't report, as in the other cases cited by the government, a specific location. She didn't say the gunshot came from next door.
Now, why do you say this altercation business? Didn't Judge Sharp find that the defendant shoved the officer?
Certainly that factual finding
didn't
is...
Didn't he find that?
Certainly that factual finding is due great deference, Your Honor.
So he found that?
Yes, sir.
So why do you say it's just an altercation?
Even accepting that, Your Honor, they place...
What do you even accepting it? You're required to accept it.
Certainly, I concede that under the facts of this case and under Judge Sharp's ruling, the altercation involved him attacking the officers.
Mm-hmm. And if you attack an officer, you're going to be arrested, right?
And he was arrested and taken to the police car.
Yeah. So the officers go in, they're attacked by this drunken maniac, and they've heard gunshots. It seems to me simple prudence requires them to look through the apartment. Make sure there's no one there, either an accomplice with a gun in his hand or a victim.
In the other cases that have been decided, Your Honor, there have been other factors other than...
Why do you need more than this? I don't understand. Well, what are we trying to protect here? The sanctity of the home, is that...
That's precisely what we're trying to protect, Your Honor. And that's
think
what
this fellow is entitled to have his home sanctified?
If the arrest had taken place inside of the
apartment...
Well,
that's what's so absurd. The only reason it takes place outside is that he comes charging out. So you concede if he'd been a few inches, he'd been on the other side of the door, they could then... search the apartment.
Had the arrest taken place inside of the apartment.
Right. So it's wonderfully formalistic, right? He's 6 inches to one side of the door rather than the other, then they can search the apartment. So is this rational, this distinction you're arguing, or is this just we have to be formalists about this?
This is precisely what the Supreme Court has told us, is that there is a barrier at the threshold of the home. And crossing that barrier requires a much greater standard than operating outside of
the area.
So
this is a new formula for criminals. If police come to the door, charge out at them, barge into them, then you get arrested and taken off to jail, but they can't look inside your house.
In this case, Your Honor, the police had nothing more than the fact that they were arresting a belligerent man.
But you say they would have had the same nothing more if they'd arrested him in the apartment. And yet you say if they'd done that with nothing more, they could have searched the apartment.
If they are inside of the apartment,
yes,
making
now what's
an arrest.
The sense of that, right? What is the sense? And maybe it doesn't make any sense. It's just an edict of the Supreme Court. But is there something sensible that would support that distinction?
There is indeed, and that is the Fourth Amendment protects the home from unreasonable searches.
You mentioned earlier about the protective sweep, and one of the factors that's reviewed is the length of the sweep, and here the sweep was 15 to 20 seconds. You think that time period was unreasonable?
Well, certainly 15 to 20 seconds is not an unreasonable time period. My position simply is that the police had no business crossing that threshold in the first place. Once they were inside, any sweep was unreasonable. They had vacated the premises. They were out of the car. They had no reason to go back there.
But you don't have any quarrel with what happened once they got in there. I understand you're saying they shouldn't have crossed the threshold, but in terms of what they did, seeing the light at the closet and you know, checking to see if someone was in there. You don't have any quarrel with any of their actions once they got in.
Certainly, I would concede that if they are legally in there and they are doing a protective sweep for their own safety, they can check the closet and the bathroom, which are adjacent to the area that they're in for their own protection. That's clear jurisprudence. Well, if there are no further questions, then I'll retire. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Mr. Holler.
Thank you, Your Honors. Government would just submit that the officers did behave reasonably, act in a reasonable fashion under the circumstances. They
They wouldn't let them go back in the apartment, would they, after they arrested them?
I'm sorry?
The officers wouldn't let them go back in the apartment after they arrested them.
Well, the defendant had been trying to kick them and attack them. He was bound with ankle.
But he's under control, right?
That's correct.
He wants to go back in.
Yes, he asked to go back in.
They could have gone back in with him, right?
They could have made that decision. I don't think that they were required to do that, though.
But then he says, check my dog.
Yes, he does.
An odd set of facts, Mr. Holler.
I'm sorry?
An odd set of facts.
The defendant was obviously under the influence of something, and I don't think was behaving rationally, shooting off
maybe
the gun, turning up
maybe
the video.
Maybe the thought he was too drunk to give the consent, probably, right?
Possibly it could, Your Honor. I mean, in any event, once the defendant had specific request was, could you take these off? I want to go in and check my dog. And I think it was more of a ploy. And then
his dog was touching, since it's what did him in, right?
I guess it is somewhat ironic, Your Honors. We believe that under either an exigent circumstances or a protective sweep analysis, a search by the officers was justified and the district court's order should be reversed.
Thank you, Mr. Hollis. Thank you, Mr. Stevens. The case is taken.